Welcome to episode 2 of Racing with Ryan. I'm your host, Ryan Stevens, the voice of New Smyrna Speedway, as I was told last week. Did I get it right this time?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good.
Sorry.
So we're ready here on show number 2. I'm Ryan, and joining me again today is the world's best spotter, Miss Margo over there. How you doing, Margo?
Super spotter. Super spotter. Get it right.
Super spotter. Damn it. I already flubbed it.
It's all right. I'll forgive you this time.
All right. I'll get it right by the third show.
Probably not, but I'll forgive you then, too.
That's all right, because I'll probably forget. But anyway, so second episode here. We got a lot to talk about. It's only the second weekend of the year, but there was a lot of racing happening here in Florida this weekend. So we're going to cover those events. And we got an interview with Becca Monopoly, who was the big winner of the Bristol Family Charity Race over in Auburndale. Race that I was lucky enough to be invited to help call. So we're going to be talking about that race here today. We're going to talk about the Triple Crown, the first leg of the Triple Crown over at Showtime Speedway. And they had a big enduro at Citrus, and we got some good news out of the New Smyrna Speedway to cover here on this show. So we're going to go ahead and dive right on into it. We're going to start with the 114 lap charity pro truck race over at the Auburndale Speedway, the annual charity event put on by Rick Bristol, where he raises money for the charity, and the race brings everybody together. And I believe they raised a lot of money this weekend, which was a good thing. So as far as the race goes, for a truck race at Auburndale, I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it was good.
I mean,
it wasn't as full of wrecks as I thought it would be, and that was not that, like, I don't mean that in any way, shape, or form against the truck guys. I just know how races can get at Auburndale. So
yeah, it's a tight little bull ring. A lot of times you gotta root somebody out of the way to pass, kind of like what happened in the Mod Minis the day before on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that in a little while too, but the pro trucks, they qualified on Saturday. They had 17 trucks show up. They qualified Saturday. Bray Holmes was by far the quickest, and then they did that the random pill draw thing on the front straightaway that mixed things up. So Bray drew a 9 and had to start 9th, which I don't know about you, but made things quite interesting watching him come through the field.
Definitely did, and I do not like that pill draw format.
No, do you like the straight invert better?
I like a straight invert.
It's unique. They did it in the Southern Super Series, the first time I've seen it done, when they came to New Smyrna. They literally put, you know, balls in a bag, or something in a hat, and they, I almost said balls in a sack.
I mean, I don't hate it. I'm not a driver, so I can't. I mean, it's just, as a fan, it's kind of confusing to go, oh, Becca Monopoly pulled a 4 or a 5, and Bray Holmes pulled a 9, and blah. Like, it just makes it all kinds of fuckery up in my head.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because you qualify, and then you're like, all right, Bray Holmes is on the pole, but not really. Well, maybe. We'll find out tomorrow.
Bray's on the pole. Just kidding. Sorry, Bray. Like, it's confusing to me. I would rather have, like, qualifying and then a straight invert, and this is coming from me, who has had to, like, do qualifying up in the scorer's tower, had to run the stopwatch and stuff. It's just easier to be like, all right, the invert's 12, which nobody ever does a 12-car invert.
Because nobody gets 12 cars anymore.
I mean, you said it, but whatever. Like, it's so much easier than, like, I'm sitting here trying to think of how I would do that lineup. Like, I just think it would be entirely too much work for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much easier to just pick a pill and, you know, invert 6. I mean, that's the way I like to do it. But I guess doing the pill thing, it did get some of the kids involved, which always helps. But it did set up for an interesting starting lineup because you had Bray Holmes in 9th, and then you had Cody McDuffie, who everybody, when I was doing the interviews, was talking about being really good on the outside. He started 2nd, and I was actually afraid that he was going to run away and lead the whole thing.
Well, I mean, he kind of did get the jump on the start, and I don't mean he jumped the start. I mean, he got, like, we'll put it in Supercross terms, he got the whole shot on the start. Yeah. And kind of took off, and honestly, for me, it was freaking boring. When he got taken off, like, the race was great. The race from, like, 3rd on back was wonderful. But he took off down the backstretch and was gone. And it was boring to me. And then somebody spun out in turn four, and I went, how the hell do you spin out in turn four at Auburndale?
There's a lot of that. A lot of people spun out in turn four.
Completely ridiculous, because I was sitting with somebody who's ran Auburndale in a Legend, a late model, modified it, freaking everything. And even he looked at me and went, how does that happen? Like, it was just weird.
Normally this race...
I talked to Becca, and she said she was nervous about McDuffie starting on the outside because he can get his truck to hook up and just fly.
That's what everybody was saying, that he was really good on the outside. And, you know, he led the first half of the race until there was a rash of cautions. A lot of them were single truck spins, just a spin here, a couple trucks collected here and there. A lot of bumper tech, a lot of beating and banging, which you're going to get at the bull rings. But it wasn't until Bray Holmes got up into the top two and three that things got really interesting, because he got up there with Becca, who Becca was trapped on the outside for like the first 80 laps of this race.
Yeah.
But she would fall back to six, claw her way back up to third, then get up to second, then fall back on a restart.
She'd get a good run on literally anybody, and she was on the outside, and she would get pushed up. And I'm like, dude, just push him back down.
Eventually she did. She just started on restarts like a lap or two later, just forced her way to the inside.
I'm sorry, if I am spotting for somebody and they're getting pushed up the track that you might as well be driving in the grandstands, I'm going to be like, all right, if he wants to run your line, run your line. Run his line. Eight tires are better than four.
Yep.
And it might work out. It might not work out, but whatever.
There's multiple times in the race where that was the case. Now, there, like I said, there was a rash of yellows. It seemed like there was 8, 9, 10 yellow flags in the race. But up front, the racing was really good. There was actually 4 lead changes, which is pretty good for a small little track like Auburndale when a really fast truck starts on the outside of the front row. But Bray Holmes and Cody McDuffie traded the lead a couple times. They were side by side at one point. Caution came out, kind of screwed Cody McDuffie out of keeping the lead.
Was this the caution when they finally threw the caution after the guy's hood flew off? Or was it the one right after?
It was the one after with the spin, and then the guy stopped on the track, and then they're like, all right, we got to throw the caution.
Yep.
But Cody McDuffie had the lead, but they said they didn't complete the lap, gave the lead back to Bray Holmes. And then it seemed like with McDuffie running the outside, he kind of maybe used up his stuff a little bit. And Bray Holmes had the truck to beat. And it looked like Bray Holmes was going to win the thing.
Poor
and I remember
Bray.
Under caution, with about 25 to 30 laps complete, they were going into turn one. And I saw this puff of blue smoke. And I was like, oh, is that something going on? And then Rick Bristol, who was helping announce the race, was like, it probably just got on the brakes. You know, just a lot of people were locking up the brakes. But under caution, I'm thinking, well, I don't think you hit the brakes that hard under caution, but oh well.
It definitely doesn't blue smoke, but
yeah.
There's
so I noticed that, but I'm thinking, well, we'll have to see. And then eventually, while Bray Holmes was leading, the motor did go south, and Becca Monopoly was able to take the lead, and ultimately she would hang on and win her second charity race in a row.
Yeah, she got a good little jump on the lead after everybody decided that they didn't want to restart on the last restart.
Yeah, there was a jumbled restart about halfway through.
Are we really going to let that restart go? And they did. I mean,
and thankfully a caution came right out.
Yeah.
Because that was definitely one of those, yeah, we should have taken one on the field there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. It was a long race, and it was really hot for January. Those drivers were worn out.
Yeah.
Like
hot Saturday night, too.
Yeah. But at least the nighttime, the sun's gone.
Yeah.
So it's not as bad. That's why we can race in the summer. But you know, I went down, first of all, when I was doing driver intros, I was getting sunbaked and I was like, oh yeah, I need to go drink some water. And then after the race, talking to Becca, she was exhausted. I actually did third place second because, Cody McDuffie was just worn out. He needed time to collect his thoughts and all this. So it was a tough day out there. I think 7 of the 17 trucks finished, 6 or 7 finished. So even though there wasn't a big wreck or anything, a lot of attrition, which I think we all expected. But yeah, Becca gets the win, and this one I think meant a lot more to her because last year she won after Jason Lester was disqualified.
That would have meant a lot to me too.
Well, I mean, it's
sorry came out of my mouth and it wasn't supposed to, but whatever.
You'll hear the interview with Becca here in just a bit, but you know, even she said it was a lot more fun to celebrate the win on the track with family and friends. And
I got yelled at for not being down
there.
I
know, because you were hanging out with them most of the day. You and Emily, who's like fangirling over Becca, and you guys didn't go celebrate, but. You know, it definitely is more fun to
we
win on the track.
We celebrated after.
Well, yeah, you all did, for sure.
We got some jello shots and stuff. It was all right. But no, it was, I liked seeing Becca win it. I love Becca. She's the new Smyrna Truck Champion. I feel like getting to know her like the last year, I've seen her come out of her little shell and she just has so much potential. She is one that I will gladly root for.
Yeah.
And I am not one, sorry, this is going to ruffle some feathers. I am not one to root for a female driver just because, like me, they have boobs. Good job, you did it. Becca, however, I love her attitude. I love her parents. They are freaking amazing people. And she's just got so much. I mean, the girl's got like 27 championships.
Yeah, four last year.
Yeah, so. Like I'm trying to think because I have her card from that has the 2017 championships and she's gotten like I think 6 or 9 since then. I think she's got like 27 championships and she's like 30 years old.
Yeah.
And you don't just get handed a championship. I mean, you might, but
no, I mean, not in it's that, not a not track, truck I want to race. There are so many good truck drivers. I mean, you know, Cody McDuffie, Bray Holmes, Jason Lester on a regular basis, you know, Donnie Burkhalter. There's so much competition in the trucks right now. And, you know, to win this race once, put your name on it is good. It is a prestigious race for the truckers. And to put your name on it once is one thing, but to do it back to back is quite an accomplishment. And it was a really enjoyable race because you never know what you're going to get over at Auburndale. Sometimes it can be strung out and nobody can pass, or the fast truck, fast car, whatever, gets out in front and you can't pass them. Or there's just wreck after wreck. And this was a little bit of both. You had different dominant cars at different stages, trucks at different stages of the race. You had a lot of little spins. There's one big incident off turn number two, but all in all, it was an enjoyable race. It was unpredictable. Didn't really know who was going to get it until the very end. And that's the kind of race that I like.
Yeah, it was a good race. It was a clean race. And I was surprised that it was a clean race.
Yeah. And I think, you know, people are saying, oh, there's only 17 trucks, but this race is not.
Really, it's a lot better than the four she usually races against.
Yeah, but sorry. And I think that sometimes at a track like Auburndale, you put 15, you know, even 12 out on a track like that, and it'll be a better race than over at a bigger track. And I think it helped make the racing a little bit better because there wasn't 30 trucks they had to get through. Because usually what happens on a track like that, you start 26, 27 trucks. We don't get to race until there's only 17, 15 trucks left anyways, because that's when they quit wrecking. So yeah. I think it gave us just a solid field and a good race all the way through. So congratulations again to Becca. Her family is just, they're very, very nice people, very soft-spoken, very welcoming, very humble people. And for a long time, Becca was very shy and quiet, but like you mentioned, Margo, she's kind of come out of her shell here lately and you know, as you say, kind of has a personality now.
All right. Sorry. So I totally was like looking at our Facebook page to try to count up all the championships and I still can't find out? Get there. No, I didn't realize she drove a modified.
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's super cool. I love modifieds. Real race cars don't have fenders. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people probably don't realize that she even has win in the super late model.
Yeah, I mean, if you give me 1 second, I can go grab the hero card that has all of her championships, and that right there is why I like her.
Well, if you want to go do that, I'll recap the rest of the night real quick.
She's not like a little, oh, I drive a race car, I'm cool, don't treat me like one of the guys. She's like, no, I'm going to go whoop your ass like I would.
Oh, yeah, she's a contender every time she shows up to any track.
Yeah.
And I was in the interview, which you guys will hear here in a little bit, not to give too much away, but we did talk about, you know, the super late model, when are we going to see you break out in that thing? And they're going to focus a little bit more on that this year at Showtime in Auburndale, try to bring it out new Smyrna. She's just so comfortable in the truck and so good in the truck that's kind of her bread and butter. And the super late model is kind of like the toy. So she's trying to kind of change that narrative a little bit perhaps this year.
Now I want to see her in a modified.
Right?
Yeah, I'm going to go grab that hero card. Don't talk about the one race.
No, I'm going to talk about everything.
You cannot talk about
that
division without me.
Because I need your input on that. So, well, she goes to grab the card. There was a bunch of other racing. It was a 2-day show over at Auburndale. It was Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. Of course, Becca Monopoly winning the charity race. Ahead of Cody McDuffie, Steve Darvalix, former champion, he was second. Brennan Pletcher, fourth. And fifth was Cody Crucker, a young little racer. From the southern part of the state. Last one over at 417, he rounded out the top five with another good run. They had 20 pure stock/street stocks in their feature, which ended up being a good little race. I was expecting a wreck fest, to be honest with you. Just a couple spins, couple minor issues, couple rough driving penalties, but all in all, a good race. That was won by James Wright in a beautiful blue 56 Camaro. Really cool cars. I don't like how a lot of them don't have front bumpers. They have those big old cow catchers on them. But still, really cool cars. A good mix of like Monte Carlos and Camaros, made for a good race. The Legends cars were also in action both Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. Sam Kornman won the first one, which was really clean. The one on Sunday afternoon was a mess. There was about 23 cautions. They crashed before the race even started. They had to completely realign the field. The leaders wrecked each other about four times, and Dennis Misuraca, who was just allowed back into the speedway, as a matter of fact, ended up getting the win there. Guy Comell won the scrambler race on Saturday night, and they also had a big mod mini race on Saturday, and Margo's back now. So go ahead and tell us what's on the hero card there, and then we'll talk about the mod mini race at Auburndale.
All right, so she's got INEX semi-pro state champion. I think that's a
That's Legends cars.
Yeah, I was trying to say that.
Oh, sorry.
Beach Legend Championship, Legend Championship. Truck Champion at Orlando Speed World, Truck Champion at Showtime. Joey Coulter, fellow blah blah truck series thing, champion. Auburndale Speedway Pro Truck Champion, Florida State Pro Truck Champion, Showtime Speedway Pro Truck Champion, Darts Series Champion, Florida Pro Truck Series Champion, Showtime Speedway Pro Truck Champion, and that's all from 11 to 17.
Yeah.
2018, she got Super Late Model Championship at Showtime, Truck Championship at Showtime, Truck Championship at Auburndale, and then she just won like every freaking truck championship in the entire state last year.
Yeah, she won. She got her first New Smyrna Speedway win of any kind last year.
But she's also got like Auburndale Speedway Driver of the Year.
Yeah, I believe that.
Florida United Pro Truck or Florida United Promoter Series. It might be the Pro Truck Series. Whatever, one of those Florida United Series champion, rookie of the year, Drive for Diversity combine participant. Like, she's just
done it all, and she's 30, so it's pretty good accomplishments.
Done it all in a dress at that. I mean, yeah, right. There's a picture of her in a dress. Yeah. I love that picture, it is so badass, but yeah,
yep, and then you know. Put the cherry on top, New Smyrna Championship last year, Auburndale Championship, Florida Pro Truck Championship, Triple Crown, and missed out on the Showtime Championship because there was a reschedule or something. So she talks about that in the interview.
She's got like all of the championships ever. And I'm like, I don't hate female drivers. I'm just not one to go, hey, she's got boobs, I'm going to cheer for her, because I'm really not. Unless it's Haley Deegan. I will fangirl over Haley Deegan. But that's because of her dad. But Becca's badass, and she's proved it. So... kudos to you, Becca. Yes, I am not as big of a fangirl as Emily is, but I love
her. There's
going to
be people out there that don't like her, but whatever. She's earned the respect in my book. And then real quick, we got to talk about this mod mini race. It was a 40-lapper on Sunday.
You mean mod mini rack, right?
Yeah. It was a 40-lapper on Saturday night, and it started the first like 14, 15 laps went green. And then it was just wreck after wreck after wreck.
Well, then it was person spinning out after person spinning out over, I'm going to dump you intentionally, and then cause like a... and then, not because of the intentional dumping, then we have a 45-minute red flag, and there's this driver on the ground hyperventilating, having like carbon monoxide poisoning. Like, it was a great race up until two laps before that happened.
Yeah. So Mike Rutter was leading. And then he got a bump from the 7 car. His name escapes me at the minute. King or something like that.
Ken something.
Ken Nurse, that's it. Ken Nurse in the 7. He bumped into Rutter coming off the corner off turn 4. He took the lead, and then Rutter just went off into turn number 1. And I mean, it appeared to take him out, but now I wonder if the medical condition had something to do with it.
No, what it looked like, and I will say this. Yeah. Here's where I'm going to say this. I have seen Michael Rutter and some teammates of his intentionally take people out.
Uh-huh.
I don't think he did it intentionally, but the 7 was bumping and beating on him all the way down the backstretch for the previous 3 laps. If he would have driven me the way he was driving Michael Rutter, I'd have, oops, I forgot my brake pedal. I would have done the same shit.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, I don't think Mike meant to take him out. I think he meant to go, hi, I'm here.
And right when back at you, buddy.
Yeah. And when he did it, kind of just got in over his head. Yeah,
Nurse ended up spinning around right at the front of the field after a restart.
Caught like the entire rest of the pack. And you've got some, I don't care to say her name. I can't remember her name. The 77 got involved in it. She literally had nowhere to go.
She was stuck in the middle of the racetrack with cars inside and outside and in the middle of the pack. And smashed him.
And then Nurse gets out and starts screaming, that bitch don't belong on a racetrack. She shouldn't be here. Sorry, he wasn't screaming that. He was kicking her car and trying to hit her. I'm sorry if you're a female in the sport and you take somebody out intentionally, you probably deserve to have your ass whooped just like a man would. But she didn't do anything.
No, I mean, yeah, she got legit caught up and she wrecked his car. But yeah, that's the thing. The smoke was so thick. And she's stuck in the middle of the pack, three wide.
But her family helps him.
Yeah.
Like, they were all literally parked next to each other. And then he gets in his car, and they're pulling him on the tow truck, and I've got Dawson with me, so I'm like, all right, I'm going to make sure nothing shit goes down.
Yeah, you're sitting back in
the pit area. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit here and just make sure nothing crazy happens, and if it does, I'm going to pull my kid away from it. Well, he comes with the tow truck. She shouldn't be on that effing racetrack. She's a weapon, blah, 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 blah. Cussing her, F-bombing her, calling her a bitch. And I'm like, dude, you are exactly the type of person I do not ever want my son to look up to if he's planning on getting behind the wheel of a race car.
Right.
And I can say that about several people, but that night, he was the one. And then this poor girl gets DQ'd because she gets DQ'd because she was told to walk away from her car and go sit on the wall. They ended up overturning her DQ and she got paid. But she's sitting there watching her family argue with this guy in the 7. She was told to sit at the pit opening and she can't move while security's down at her trailer and her dad is down there yelling and all this stuff. And then she's friends with Mike Rutter, who's passed out, not passed out, he was conscious, who's on the ground having EMTs, and she's just losing her mind. And I'm like, oh my God, it is a mess, only at Auburndale.
It was a wild situation. That whole racing night probably would have been done in an hour and a half if it wasn't for that. You know, Mike Rutter had some carbon monoxide poisoning issues, and they did have to delay the race, get the EMTs there, take him for precaution. I believe he is okay.
He went home yesterday, Sunday. Oh, he's good.
That's good. Good to hear. So glad that Mike is okay. It was definitely wild. It was definitely full moon Saturday night racing. At the end of it all,
I still want those Mod Mini drivers to come race at New Smyrna.
Some of them did. Look what ended up happening.
No, let me rephrase it. I want them to come race at New Smyrna, not take people out and then hit the gas pedal and continue to drive through people.
That makes sense.
I mean, I'm not naming any names, but you'll be damned if you come back and do that shit again. Sorry, I'm done now.
Well, when all the dust cleared, it was Tom Zimmerman in the 55. Really nice looking race car.
I love that
car.
And I was actually standing with his like girlfriend, wife, whatever she is. And
was she the one that was like hitting the fence and pacing around?
Yes, and I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm watching myself watch a race. It was hilarious, but she was sweet as could be too.
So Tom Zimmerman ended up winning that race.
I love that car.
It was a very entertaining race, and it was a good one, except you take out the 45-minute red flag, and it was really good. But entertaining, crazy, the kind of things that I think a lot of people go to short track racing to maybe hopefully see, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And craziness.
It's another Saturday night at Auburndale.
Yep. But hey, at least the truck race was good. And now we're going to take a moment, and we're going to hear from the winner. The lady we've been talking about much of the show, we're going to hear from Miss Becca Monopoly coming right up. All right, so on the phone with us now, we have Becca Monopoly, the driver of the 59X machine, and coming off a big win at the Bristol Family Charity Race over at Auburndale. How are you doing tonight, Becca?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Doing well. So it sounds like you've had a chance to recover from that hot, hot day over at the track on Sunday.
Oh, it was miserable. It wasn't even January.
I know. It felt like summertime. And it's crazy that we race like all summer long, but I guess the daytime probably, the daytime, the sun being on everyone's face. I mean, I'll be honest with you. When I was down there doing driver intros on the track, I was feeling the heat too. So I can only imagine what it was like behind the wheel.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of Sunday afternoon races. I always like Saturday night when it's dark out, and I think it's better for the fans, too. We probably would have got a lot more in the stands.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's something that they take a look at for next year. Maybe they go back to a, I don't know. I've been a fan of a one-day show because I like to get there, do everything, and then have a day during the weekend to relax. But, yeah. I mean, maybe that'll help things. But, yeah, it was definitely brutal, especially in January because we don't expect it to feel like summertime.
Yeah, and you never know what you're going to get in Florida.
That's very true. It's very bipolar. If you don't like the weather, just wait a couple days. You wait a couple days from now, it'll be like 60 degrees again, 40 degrees, who knows.
Yeah, and last week's weather was perfect. If only we could have raced on Wednesday.
Right, right. Why didn't they schedule it for Wednesday?
Who knows.
So what does it mean now to be a two-time winner of the charity race?
Oh, it's awesome. This year was a lot better than last year, getting to win it on the track instead of in tech and getting to celebrate with the fans and my friends and family. And for people to leave the track knowing who the winner is. And,
right.
I mean, I'll take the win, however, but it's always better when you earn it.
Absolutely. I mean, that's pretty much what I expect you to say, because I'm sure last year after you found out that you'd been given the win, you're like, well, hey, we'll take it. But it's got to be great to get out and celebrate with the crowd and have your family come out on the track and just kind of enjoy the moment, especially after such a, I don't know, long day, long race, a hard day, uh-huh. You know, it's nice to be able to get out and celebrate instead of just be like, all right, well, we'll take it.
Yeah, especially for such a prestigious race as it is. It's not like a regular every Saturday night event where it's like, okay, well, maybe next time we'll get to be on the track to celebrate. For big stuff like this, you really want to be out there and do it the right way.
Absolutely. And I mean, you've won your fair share of, I guess we'll say, small races and big races. What would you say is the biggest win of your career so far?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I don't really have an answer because there's some unique ones. Like yesterday, getting to win that on the track finally and to make up for last year winning it in tech. That's a good one. There was my first super late model win. There's getting to win on dirt for the first time ever there. And then finally last year, getting to win at New Smyrna. So there's a lot of them that mean something. Off the top of my head, I don't have a favorite one right now.
Well, that's good because I feel like every win, no matter what it is, whether it's just a regular Saturday night feature or a big win, every win should be special. So it's good that you do value all of your wins and don't just overshadow them with, you know, the latest or the greatest. So, but again, I'm sure, you know, everybody by this point knows the name Becca Monopoly, but I mean, you had such a great year last year. You won championships at Auburndale, New Smyrna. You won the Florida Pro Truck Challenge Series Championship. Plus you won their Triple Crown at the end of the year. I mean, you did a lot of winning last year.
Yeah. We were actually shooting for Showtime too, but they only had one race that counted for points. So that kind of knocked us out of that one. But I mean, we're going to try again this year, maybe not have as many championships going, but we're still trying.
Well, what are your plans for the upcoming race season?
Well, me and my dad have been talking about it in debate, and then he has a spreadsheet for all of 2020, every weekend, every month, and every race. And it looks like our best opportunities is going to be running Auburndale for the Pro Trucks and the Super Late Models. And then we will be able to run the series also, and there's no conflict to be able to do those. And then whatever weekends we have available, we'll fill in at the other tracks.
See, I like how organized you guys are. You have it all planned out already, because a lot of teams probably just, hey, what's going on this weekend, and pick a track. It's nice to hear that you have this all planned out, and you're going to be at a variety of places. So your fans, I know you have fans all over the place. They'll be able to, I'm sure you'll put the schedule out online and stuff so they can follow you around.
Yeah, and it's good to be back at Auburndale a lot this year because it's my home track. So I have a lot of friends and family close, and they'll be able to come out more often this year than last.
Yeah, you're kind of right in that sweet spot between Auburndale and Showtime. So it'll be easy for you to kind of go back and forth and get the most out of both of those tracks this year.
Yeah, and it's going to be nice not to have to drive a couple hours at 2 in the morning coming home after the races.
Yeah, I can understand that because obviously I'm from, you know, I work in New Smyrna, but I live in Orlando. So, I mean, going down to Auburndale last weekend, I love being at the track, but I am not a fan of that drive. So I can only imagine from New Smyrna to back home to Lakeland every week must have been kind of treacherous, especially on those late nights.
Oh, yeah, you get to fall asleep until you hit downtown Orlando in the construction, and you can't sleep through those bumps.
No, that's not fun. Not even I can only imagine what you have to do to haul the race car, but it was sketchy enough in the vehicle, in just my car. So, I'm glad to hear that you're going to be at multiple places, and I know we'll see you at New Smyrna a couple times at least with the Truck Challenge Series, so at least we'll get to see you. And, hey, if you got an off weekend, make sure you come see us there too.
Oh, we will. I'd like to get the Super back out there and get more seat time on a big track with it, too.
Yeah, and I know the fans would love to see that, too. And we saw you a couple times with it last year, and I'm glad to hear you still have plans with the Super. You're so good in the truck, and I think a lot of people are just kind of waiting for you to break out with that Super, too.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing.
Have you? I mean, I obviously mean no offense by it, but, you know, the Supers are what everybody's crazy about these days, so.
It is.
But you've been racing trucks. Remind me how long you've been in the truck.
Oh, gosh. Maybe 6 or 7 years now. I don't remember.
So you're very comfortable in the truck, I would imagine.
I am. It's very easy to drive. And, I mean, the more seat time we get with the Super, I'm getting more comfortable and more confident in it.
Yeah.
But I just don't have the same comfort as I do with the truck.
I got you. Well, hopefully, you know, this year you'll get a little bit more comfortable, and I'd love to see you over there at New Smyrna in a Super, and you know, give Brad May and David Rogers a run. They need some fresh competition over there on a weekly basis. So if you get the chance, bring it on out and see what you can do.
Oh, we're gonna try.
All right. Well, hey, that's what I like to hear. Once again, congratulations on that win. It was great seeing you go out there. That was a really, really good race, and you're right up there the whole time. And again, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And again, we'll be following you here on this show and kind of, you know, all around this year. And good luck in 2020. And hopefully we'll talk to you in Victory Lane again soon.
I hope so, too. Thank you.
All right. So, yes, it was a wild and crazy night over at Auburndale. Great to see Becca Monopoly come out on top of that truck race. Well-deserved win for her and the family. But like we mentioned at the top of the show, there's a couple other races going on. And of course, we were at Auburndale. That's why we took most of the time to talk about that. But Showtime Speedway doing a triple crown for the late models. I guess Yoho was saying, there's no interest in regular late model races. So I'm just doing a triple crown for them this year. So leg number one of the triple crown, which I think is a very fun thing. I wish New Smyrna would take their big 100-lap races and do a triple crown or a grand slam with them.
They used to,
yeah. Like, I wish they'd do that again. Like, take Red Eye, take Orange Blossom, Clyde Hart, and Heart to Heart, and the most driver or the driver with the most points at the end of those races wins. I don't know. Give him a tire. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, you know, because I had been kind of talking to a couple of my friends who have been at New Smyrna since I have been there. And I'm like, you know, I wish that they would bring that back the triple crown, because it used to be, I want to say the Pete Orr, the Clyde Hart, and then the Governor's Cup. I could be complete, because the Red Eye is kind of a new thing. But yeah, I think it was Pete Orr, Clyde Hart, or Orange Blossom. Yeah. Billy Harvey, Clyde Orange Blossom / Billy Harvey.
Yeah, they've changed names.
Anyways, I was like, it would be awesome if they would do that, put $10,000 to win for each race, and then at the end of the year, you get like $30,000 if you win all three. It's like, that's how it would be.
Yeah.
And then here comes Mr. Robert Yoho. Funny how those birdies start talking.
Yeah.
And he has his little $10,000 to win, but only if I start this amount of cars.
Yeah,
if I don't get this amount of cars, I'm not going to pay this much.
Like, he always says great things, but yeah, he always throws those stipulations. Gotta have 16. We had 15, so screw y'all, you know what I mean?
I mean, it's stipulations. Yep. What's the difference?
At least he puts it out there. At least he tells you what the stipulations are going to be.
If we're going to double the payout for 20 cars, why can't we double the payout when we have 23 in the pits and only 18 start the race?
I think it should be at New Smyrna if they have double payout, it should be if there's 23 that practice, because it ain't their
fault.
There
were 23 that night and 18 started the race.
That sportsman race? No, No.
No, there's 21.
If you go back and look, there's 19. And we started 18.
There were 21 that were there and one left because his trailer was all of a sudden too tall. And
is that the same night?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, but he didn't practice.
He was there. He was told he couldn't park in the infield even though he had done it a million times. I'd have left too.
Well,
but that's not what we're getting in on. Right, but right. I'm just saying,
that's last year.
If there's 21 in the pits and only 19 race, we should still... one car? What happens if one wrecks? Then we're not going to pay a double?
Don't have to pay the guys that didn't start. So there you go. Anyway, so yeah, they're doing the Triple Crown over at Showtime. I believe they started 20 cars in this event. So good turnout over there. Mm-hmm. Couple drivers that I had never heard of before making starts over there. Like the guy who finished, I got to look at it. The guy that finished fifth was Dan Leek, L-E-E-C-K. Never heard of him before. So pretty good showing over there at Showtime. Sounded like an entertaining race. I did not see it. I only know what I know from hearsay. I guess Michael Atwell and Anthony Sergi got together. Is that what you heard?
Yeah, I was told that Atwell and Sergi got together and both of them got sent to the rear, which I was checking race monitor because like all of my friends were racing that race.
Right.
So I checked race monitor and like Atwell and Sergi were running like, I think second and third, maybe first and second. And then like six laps later, I check it and Daniel Webster's leading and Atwell and Sergi are in last. And I'm like, WTF?
Yeah, that's kind of what I heard is they got together.
So they got together and then they made their way back up to the front because I think Sergi finished second and Atwell finished third.
Yep.
Or so, Atwell won?
Atwell won, yeah. Atwell won over Sergi. Nassi was third.
Nassi had Daniel Webster. Poor Daniel.
I know. He was leading it with like 20 to go or
something. He led the most laps and apparently like a 38-cent cotter pin on a ball joint cost
him
the race.
Always how it seems to go. The smallest little thing.
It's his damn throwback wrap. Ever since he put that throwback wrap on, he has had such bad luck.
It's because Jimmy Spencer never had any luck either. Why would you want to look? Although that car is badass.
It is badass, but I mean, he just needs to go back to like...
Because he was running good at Auburndale last year before he got taken on that big wreck. Yep. He was like third or fourth and then got taken out. But
poor Daniel. Look, I'm just glad it wasn't like a Daniel Webster and Steven Nassi repeat from the Showtime race several years ago.
Well, that's
I mean, that would have made me laugh my ass off and I would have loved every... I think that race is still bookmarked on my phone because I love watching that video.
Oh, yeah. I loved it when you showed me that. Well, at least I believe over there, nobody was DQ'd, no ambulances were called to the scene, and no fights had to be broken up. So,
not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of.
I would have heard.
Michael Atwell did get the win, so good for him. He's really good over there. Sergi was second, Nassi third, Nick Neary came home fourth, and that Dan Leek, L-E-E-C-K, Leek? I'm going to go with Leek. Dan Leek rounding out the top five
there.
There's
a leak in your roof. Sorry.
Yeah, right. Jeff Schofield won the sportsman event over there.
Yep.
They had eight. And I'm thinking, wow, they only had eight? What's going on? Wheelman Banquet, same night.
Yep.
Why would you schedule a sportsman race the same night as a Wheelman Banquet? Oh, because the same, you don't want to go to Wheelman Rules either. Gotcha. Oh,
why would you schedule a track banquet on top of another track's banquet when you both have track champions that want to be at both banquets? But I'm not saying any.
Yep.
Anyways,
that's what usually happens. But Schofield, the big one over there. Oh, guess who just registered under the regular season for New Smyrna in sportsman? Jeff Schofield. So that means we'll be seeing him at New Smyrna, I would imagine. So anyways, Michael Atwell wins like one of the Triple Crown. We'll see kind of how that... We'll try to follow that series as best we can throughout the year. They also had a different kind of event over in Citrus County. They had an Enduro over there. I've heard differing reports. I've heard 73 cars. I've heard 89 cars.
It was 105 or
something. I heard 103, 105. So there was well over 80 cars.
Per their Facebook, there was like 101.
Yeah.
So
the Facebook I saw said 79. But
either way, it was more than 39.
That's true. And so
I didn't know about that event until I saw people posting that they were going to it. Yeah. So I guess my problem might have been that I don't follow Citrus on Facebook.
Well, that would be a good reason.
Or I do follow them on Facebook, and they don't promote their shit.
I guess. I don't know. But it was the Grocery Getter 150 Enduro. Good turnout. I don't like the format that they used.
It's because you're wrong.
Well, that's fine. They did 50 laps clockwise, 50 laps counterclockwise, and then a road course sort of kidney bean whoop-de-doo thing, which I just think is stupid. It's an enduro. Pick a direction and let them go the full way. When we did an enduro at New Smyrna, there was talk about reversing the field, and I begged them not to do it. It just ruins the flow of it. I'm not a fan of switching directions. The enduros that I went to when I was a kid started over 100 cars on a quarter mile, and it was 200 laps. They didn't stop. The enduro is already a gimmick. You don't need to throw other gimmicks on top of the gimmick. Just throw the green flag and let them go. But you said you kind of like the format.
I like that format. I've seen that format before. I think it's cool. I mean, I think it's all a bunch of sheet.
Yeah.
But
it's a gimmick race.
I'm sorry. I don't like it. I prefer stock cars racing on a racetrack and not stuff that's going to tear up the track. But I'm also not that person going, oh my God, you're tearing up a perfectly good racetrack. Unless it's Orlando Speed World. Then the grass growing up in that bitch is pretty sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, let's continue to drift on it. No, I don't like the gimmicky stuff. I mean, it's cool. It's fun. Enduros are definitely fun. To me, I could care so much. I could care less about chainsaw races. Yes,
you got one guy chasing around the chainsaw to try to cut your tires. Yeah,
no, I could care less about chain races and flagpole races demolition derbies and all that stuff.
Derbies are not that entertaining.
It's fun to go watch, and I have friends that do it. Mainly, yep.
Every now and
Chain.
Then, it's fun.
It's fun, but I'm sorry, I don't want to see a school bus go through a wall.
Yeah, freaking school bus went through the wall. Luckily, it was in the turn.
There were
so many
people at Showtime and other tracks this week that literally knew nothing about that, and I'm telling them about it at Auburndale, and they didn't believe me. I'm like, really? I got pictures. I can show you.
And there are pictures. They're out there. That's
thank you, Tyler Sontag, crazy. Who did not take those pictures because he was at the Wheelman Banquet. But
wasn't it William Hyman's bus, too?
No, it wasn't William's bus. It was some guy named Preston.
Oh, okay. Well,
which every Preston I've ever met is kind of a... just kidding. But I guess this guy, from what I was told, this guy brought a bus out, and then there was another team that brought like four to intentionally take him out.
Interesting.
And then supposedly he got out of the bus and kicked somebody's butt. I don't know how true that is.
Oh, so we had fights at two tracks last weekend. Awesome.
I don't know how true that is, but...
I can't confirm.
That's what I was told, and I'm like, oh, yep, typical...
Typical redneck stuff.
Yeah.
I said it.
I wanted to say Crash-O-Rama, but I know it wasn't a Crash-O-Rama event. Just Crash-O-Rama type event.
Yeah.
And it's all just gimmicky, and I don't like
it. See, I like the enduros, because it's still a... It's like if you take a demolition derby, but make it a race. I do enjoy that.
They call those mod mini races.
Sometimes they do, yeah. But I do like that. I don't like stopping it every 50 laps. I don't like... races that have like intentional stopping points
because you as the announcer, you're like, okay, I'm not sure what's going on now. They're gonna turn them around and then I'm gonna lose track of where everybody's at.
And like Showtime had an enduro at the beginning of the year and they did a kidney bean thing the whole time. I'm just like, no, let them go in a damn circle. This isn't a road course race. Let them go in the circle.
There was one track that was supposed to do like a Paul Revere race, and I had to tell you what that was because I had actually seen it done before, and I'm like, nope.
You're like, go look that up, and they do it at Rockford Speedway in Illinois.
Yeah, they either, some of them have like police lights on the top of them, or the one I have seen, not in person, people like hold up their cell phone flashlights, and that's how you see, and occasionally they'll turn on like a strobe light. And I'm like, no, that's not okay. I'd be having a seizure in a race car because you're showing strobe lights. It's just, it's weird, but it's also kind of cool.
Yeah, it would be cool.
It's completely dangerous.
These are the kind of things that you do once or twice a year, and then... You know, that way, if you do it too much, it loses its luster and it just becomes annoying.
Sorry, I didn't mean to give you the Ice Cube ASMR there.
That's all right. But of course, our buddy, Mr. Huggy Bear, William Hyman, ended up winning the thing. I mean, nobody is surprised about that.
Well, Zach Curtis was there, so I was slightly... William finally won a race at Citrus and didn't get DQ'd.
Wow.
15 years and he's
this is the first race I've heard him win that's not a damn enduro or not a damn demolition derby.
Enduro, demolition derby, same thing.
But congratulations to William. Of course, most people listening to this probably know who William Hyman is, but he ended up outlasting anywhere between 80 and 100 cars, and through all the different formats that they made him do, he won the damn thing. So good job to William Hyman winning the Citrus Grocery Getter 150 enduro. So that about covers the action here in Florida this week. Of course, no NASCAR going on right now. I guess the only real NASCAR news is they have a new short track racing package. Thank God. Because the short tracks were not very good last year, so they've reduced the spoiler. And hopefully those races will be a little better. You can actually pass a leader. So that's about all the NASCAR news right now. Daytona's in. We'll talk about. Yeah, you're like, okay. Chase Elliott was not involved, so it's okay. They didn't cut his spoiler off, so you're good.
I was going to say, if it didn't have Chase Elliott or Ryan Blaney in it, I probably don't care.
Yeah. So new short track package coming for NASCAR in 2018, which should improve the racing on the tracks a mile and under. So we'll see how that goes. The rest of it all stays the same. We'll talk more NASCAR when NASCAR is more relevant. So the only other bit of news I have is New Smyrna Speedway paved their pits.
Woohoo!
No, I mean, that's a big deal.
I wasn't being sarcastic once.
They put the millings down last year, and it was supposed to millings, you smooth it over, and they were supposed to put some kind of coating on there, which never got put on. It got chewed up. They came back, they put the rest of it down, and then it looked good for about 2 weeks and got chewed up again.
It's nice.
It just wasn't it wasn't what they should have done to begin with.
It's going to suck big, giant monkey nuts in the middle of the summer when it's 12,000 degrees.
It's already hot as balls, so it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And the concrete pads are still there. Everybody's going to be on the concrete. And if you don't like it, you can go to the back where there's still dirt. So if you want to complain about the nice asphalt.
All right, I'll just come and sit in the AC in the tower with you.
Well, there you go. See, I can go in the tower, but I think it
gets super hot. But I was just saying, it gets super hot.
We're not there for comfort, so. But yeah, it's great that they finally got the pits paved there in the infield and on the upper deck. So that should help. Patrick Thomas commented on there. Oh, it's going to help with keeping the cars cleaner and keeping the inside of the car from getting all beat to hell. So,
oh, it totally does. Yeah. I'm so glad.
I remember when he pulled in last year and he had all that shit rattling around that he picked up from coming off the track because those hot tires pick up all the loose shit. So I think the great improvement.
What I was getting at with it's going to be super hot is those hot tires are going to stick to the concrete, and then I'm going to go to walk and be like stuck to the concrete. But
it'd be
yeah,
like walking
sure,
across the track after a modified race, a tour mod race.
Yes, actually, I've gotten my shoe stuck.
I remember picking rubber out of my shoe the next day after a tour mod race.
I actually had a piece of rubber burn like through the bottom of one of my like Converse soles. It was terrible. Well, it was my fault because I was talking to a tour mod driver and kind of like leaned my foot up on his tire.
On the tire, yeah.
So thank you, Jimmy Zacharias, for the new pair of shoes that I had to get the next week.
I ruined a pair of pants by doing an interview with one of the drivers. I just leaned a little bit too close and
yep.
Right into the synthetic material of my pants and burned rubber right into it.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, "It's my foot's hot. Why is my foot so hot?" And then I'm like, oh, it's because I'm on a tour mod tire.
Yep.
Oops.
That'll do it. So.
No, I'm glad that they repaved the pits. If they could do some other stuff, it'd be great.
Yeah, but this is a very unexpected improvement because I had no idea it was coming. They didn't tell anybody about it. So kudos to New Smyrna Speedway and All Terrain Services for coming back and laying down some asphalt versus the millings, which is the way to go. Definitely something that's going to improve the track in the long term, which actually, I mean, it honestly shows the commitment to the track. So that's some positive news out of New Smyrna. Of course, geared up for the World Series. Entry lists are starting to look better and better. So I'm excited for what's to come. I'm just excited that we're talking racing here in 2020 already. Let's see. Next week, we have the New Smyrna Banquet. And then the week after that, we'll be back to Auburndale for the Sportsman Super Bowl 100. Yay. And we're going to try to get some coverage for the Sermons race. Margo might go down to that one. So we might be split coverage that weekend. We'll see. But yeah, we'll be covering all that stuff in the next couple weeks. The Sir Boy Man's race.
Yes.
So yeah, that's what we're going to be talking about the next couple weeks. We'll be sharing some stories from the New Smyrna Banquet.
Oh, we will? That means do I have to take notes at the banquet? Because I fully planned on being drunk.
No, but I want to hear all the save the stories for the podcast.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
We're going to get the drivers a little out of their element and tell some stories.
I was going to say, I'm going to be with Patty and John. Yeah. So, hi, who are you? Because I'm probably not going to remember. No, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, I'll be in a dress and heels.
We'll give you stories from the banquet next week and do a quick coverage of whatever the hell's going on around the rest of the state, and then We got two big races to cover the week after that. And then maybe a down week, the 1st of February, and then a speed week.
Well, the 1st of February, we'll be having our own race.
Yeah, that's right. Little 500. Oh, yeah.
So, yes.
Anyways, I don't know if I was supposed to say that or not.
No, it's fine. But it's, anyways. Please, we already have like 60 people coming. What else
good.
Is new?
That'll be fun. So that's what's coming up the next couple editions of the Racing with Ryan podcast. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Appreciate Becca Monopoly taking some time out of her day to talk to us and give us some content here. And who knows what's coming in the next couple of weeks. So if you like the show, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. The show is live on there. So you can search for us, Race In with Ryan. It's not racing, it's Race In, because I wanted it to rhyme, alliteration, blah, blah, blah. So you can find us there. You can subscribe right there. Every episode will come right to your phone. Or you can check my Facebook page or go to podcast.com, search for Race With Ryan. All kinds of ways you can listen to the show. And I got good feedback from the first one. So hopefully this one will do even better. Appreciate everybody listening. I'm tired of talking. So we're going to sign off. Bye.
Bye.